That Time Monday is here on WBCB. Everything you want to know about funerals, didn't know whom to ask. We're still searching.
If that music doesn't put you back to sleep, nothing will.
That's right.
But our show will keep you awake this morning.
We think so, even though you're...
We have a guest with us this morning. Calling in is Steve Santacera, state senator. And Steve's going to share with us some information, what's going on in Harrisburg and what's going on in local levels.
All right. Welcome, Senator Santacero. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good.
Good morning.
What is happening out there? Or not happening
where
out
shall
there?
I, where, yeah, exactly. Where should I start? Well, you know, it's the end of July, so just about a month ago, we wrapped up the budget process, which is something we do every year, hopefully by the end of June, because that's when the state's fiscal calendar is over.
Right.
Sometimes it's gone longer, obviously. But this year, we got it done on time, which was good. And on balance, I think it was a decent budget. It put more money into education, including early childhood education and college education too, and you know it was a compromise. It was a compromise between the governor, who's a Democrat, and the legislature, which still has Republican majority. So, on balance, I think it was a good budget.
What do you actually look for, Steve? Are there certain highlights that both sides can agree on, glom onto, or did you sort of find common ground as far as the direction you want to go? I know you're going to have disagreements, but you can find something.
Sure. Well, yeah. For me, it's education is pretty important because my background, I practiced law for about 11 years, and then on September 11th, 2001, I was up at my office in Newark, New Jersey, and if you know the geography up there, we were about 11 miles to the west of Lower Manhattan. And so we unfortunately were able to see everything that morning, and in the months that followed that, I started thinking that I'd like to do something, you know, more by way of public service. Mm. At the time, I was 36 years old. We had two kids, and our third would still be another couple years off. But I decided ultimately to follow my dad's footsteps, and I went back to school at night at Holy Family University and got my teaching degree. And by 2004, I'd landed a job at Ben Salem High School. So I taught history there, and I loved that. I loved working with the kids and my fellow teachers. But from that experience, you know, education has always been something that really matters a lot to me, and making sure that our state supports it. You know, because when the state doesn't do its share, especially on the funding side, what happens is our local school districts have to either raise taxes or cut programs. And when they raise taxes, it's really a burden on especially our seniors and people on fixed incomes. And when they cut the programs, you know, the kids suffer. So, you know, from my perspective, every time I go into a budget process, I really look to see, well, what's happening with the education budget, you know, K-12 more than anything else, because that really has such a direct impact on our communities.
Do you know Mike Craig? Do you know Mike Craig from Ben Salem High? When you taught there?
Yeah, I do. Yep.
Yeah, he coached my son in Little League. So.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Yeah.
It's a great school.
Yeah.
Kids are terrific.
How do you, part of it is to also, you look at some of the other states across the nation. I know that many years ago, you were talking about how much is spent per student, and Jersey's always pretty high. New York is very high. And then I went to college in Florida, and you realized that, you know, how far ahead of education-wise, we are here than there. So sometimes there's mm-hmm. perspectives, oh, they're not spending enough, they're not doing this, and they're not doing it. But overall, I think up here in the Northeast, PA, Jersey, and New York do fairly well as far as spending dollars per student. Is that valid, what I'm telling you, what I'm asking you?
Yeah, no, not really.
No? No?
Yeah, and I was surprised to find this out, too. We rank number 47th of the
47?
50 states.
47? Jeez.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's just, in terms of the percentage of money that we give to our schools from the state, and that has a direct impact on what property taxpayers have to pay, and property taxes are a kind of regressive way to fund education, because it has a disproportionate impact on people of fixed incomes, especially our seniors. So we need to do better. It used to be about 25 years ago, Pennsylvania picked up about 50% of the tab, the state did, for each school district. Now we're on average about 33%, and for most of our districts here in Bucks County, that number is even lower. It's more like 23-24%. Yeah. So we need to do better at the end of the day. It's just, we just do. And, you know, I know a lot of people say, you know, the money is not the only thing that matters, and that's right. But I can tell you, as a former teacher, one area where the money is critical, and that is class sizes. You know, when I was teaching at Ben Salem, we had a contract maximum of 33 kids in a class. And when you think about it, that's a lot of kids, especially if you got a bunch of kids that need more individualized attention. You know, if you have more money coming from the state, you can hire more teachers and you can lower those class sizes, and the results are better at the end of the day.
How does that all come about, Steve?
Excuse me, guys. Hold on just for a minute.
One of your assistants is not happy. Your therapist.
I'm home this morning because I have to run out to something nearby here.
Okay.
And our 18-month-old golden retriever still likes to bark at people when they go past the house. So I apologize for that.
That's a consumer watchdog, I guess. What they call
He's something. I'm not sure, but watchdog might be a stretch. But
you mean you're a senator, state senator, and you're normal?
Not yet.
What's going on here?
Well, my kids might contest that. I don't know.
Okay. Don't they all?
I'm sorry. Yeah, exactly.
What I was trying to wonder, wondering about. You hear stories like the one you just presented as far as the budget and, you know, things diminishing from the budget, know, 50% down to 33%. And you just have to wonder how those things happen. Certain things when you get into office are like staples that, you know, they're there, they're going to stay there, and we're going to move forward, we're going to float a bond, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. But how do they get away with, you know, decreasing funding for schools, you know, to that extent?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, I think it happens slowly over time. And it happens when you're not focused on the need to reinvest. From my perspective, you got to invest in things like education. It's just like you have to invest in roads and bridges to make sure that, you know, we keep having a strong economy and we're providing for people.
Right.
The revenue side of it is really important. One of the things we still have not done in Harrisburg, and I know many of us sound like a broken record on this, but it's true. We got to make sure that those oil and gas companies that are taking the natural gas out of the Marcellus Shale,
right, the frack,
are actually paying a tax. Yeah, I mean, they do it in every other state but Pennsylvania. And if we had enacted that shale tax back in 2009, when I first was elected to the State House, we would have collected over $4 billion in revenue. And that's a lot of money. You know, and that goes a long way in doing the kind of things that we're talking about.
Well, once again, my point, you're doing good. You're at 50%, you know, funding for schools, which I totally agree with you, are the key. These are the people that are going to be taking care of us when we're no longer mobile.
Right.
And, an angry society never makes for a good society. So, yet there's people making quite a bit of money off the land up there, selling the rights. I know a couple of them, and they're farting in silk shorts, so to speak. And the people who are extracting the natural resources out of there, whatever tax level they're paying at, you know, who knows? But the bottom line, you would think the economy would be that much stronger and that much richer to afford, you know, even more programs, maybe 53%, 55%. Instead, we're going backwards to 33%. So that, and you know, Democratic, Republican, non-committed, whatever. I just don't understand how they let that slip away and leave it up to people like yourself who are in office today to answer the questions. You know, at some point, like you said, reinvestment in the future is always key. But you know, some of them get away with it, and it just blows my mind that it can happen. I've watched it happen.
And you know, exactly. And at the end of the day, it's just about everyone doing their fair share. I mean, that's what this is about. It's not trying to penalize any of these companies. But if they do it every place else, you know, why can't they do it here in PA?
Sure. All right. Well, we're going to take a break. Come right back with Senator Santacero in a moment.
Everything you wanted to know about funerals and planning but did not know who to ask. Tune in on Mondays at 9 a.m. to the Galzerano Funeral Home. More than just a funeral home, Louis A. Galzerano III has been serving Bucks County for over 100 years. Family owned and operated by Louis and his wife, Carol. Galzerano Funeral Home serves all faiths and nationalities. A full-service funeral home with a full line of cremation options and a crematory on the premises. Two locations to serve you and your family, one in Bristol and one in Levittown. Call 215-788-2821 or 215-945-8484. Special rates to show our thanks to all servicemen and women as well as the FOP. Galzerano Funeral Home. 215-788-2821 or 215-945-8484.
I'm Harvey from Bernie Robbins Jewelers. When you put one of our gift boxes in front of someone, magical things happen. Eyes light up. Big smiles appear. I mean, luxuriously crisp paper, iridescent copper ribbon, our orange monarch butterfly. Well, there doesn't even have to be anything in the box. Wait, what am I saying? I'm trying to sell jewelry here. Of course something has to be in it. But what? We'll help you with that. From an impromptu gesture to a milestone gift. At Bernie Robbins Jewelers, we've got your gift and we've always got your back.
Everything you want to know about funerals, didn't know whom to ask.
Breathing. Somnambula. Report to room 8.
There you go. Howard Fine and Howard working today as well.
Steve, I can't thank you enough for being on today. I love so far our dialogue. And,
sure.
Yeah, it's definitely a key issue out there, and I couldn't agree with you more. It needs to be fixed. And if anybody's a man to fix it, I think you are.
Thank you. Thanks.
You got my vote for what that's worth.
Part of it, too, is the dynamics have changed where, hey, it's the technological part of it is, at least in my day, it's a totally different ballgame. Rather than the pens and pencils and five subject notebooks, it's computers and laptops and the technology age, too, Steve. It's, you know, that doesn't come easy as far as cost-wise and implementation, too. It's your kids know more than we do when it comes to that stuff, you know? And that's got to be tough.
Yeah, it is. I can tell you, when I was at Ben Salem, I found that out pretty quick. I mean, my own kids at that point were still kind of young, so they hadn't gotten into the whole cell phone thing yet. But the kids at Ben Salem were really good with that. And we were actually part of a pilot program when I was there that former Governor Rendell had started, where certain schools had applied, and if they were awarded these to be part of the program, they got laptops for just a handful of classes, and then a smart board, and so we were able to do a lot of new things with that. And some of the technology, you know, were things I had to learn as a teacher, because I'm, you know, like you, I grew up without all that stuff. And but it really did make a difference in the class, and the kids loved it, and it kind of opened up a whole bunch of new things we could do as teachers. So and I'm sure, and that was a decade ago, so I'm sure now, you know, things have gotten even more advanced.
Right, and it's, we had to take the SATs without the calculators, and it was like the old days.
I mean,
I hate to sound like we're old dinosaurs here and everything, get off my lawn, guys, but also the thrust of it, too, it's you're almost, as a teacher, and the tools that you have to have, you were talking about you know, safety in schools, security now. Grief counseling. I mean, I barely remember any of that during my years, and it's now. There's so many more factors now to mm-hmm. with teachers and education. It's constantly, you're constantly being on call all the time, and today's teachers really have it pretty rough to try to process all that, you know, and still tell them that 2 and 2 is 4.
Right. Yeah. I think it's a much more complicated world we live in, and I saw it. Now my two older kids are in college, and I still have one in high school. But I think with all the social media and the way the kids are connected all the time, it makes it, in some ways it's good, in a lot of ways it's much more stressful than when we were kids. And I tell the joke all the time about, this is a whole generation of kids who were never going to know how terrifying it was to call up, a girl and have mm-hmm. to deal with the father or the mother who picked up mm-hmm. the phone.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And they just text each other now and don't tell anybody.
Right, yeah. You used to pray to God, oh, maybe she'll pick it up, as opposed to, the brother or the sister or the whoever. But now they have that connectivity, and there's some things that are good about that. But honestly, and I think this is true for us too, we're all way too connected. We are constantly in contact with each other, and there's an expectation that if you don't respond right away, then you're not paying attention, or you're not being respectful. And I think we need to kind of back off that a little bit, because I think it's too much. I think we need to take a little bit more time than we do, because this texting and phones and emails, it doesn't leave a lot of time to reflect before you respond to something.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And I think that that also, in the public space, when we talk about how public officials act, sometimes it makes it less civil because people don't stop and think. I had a boss when I was a lawyer who used to say, you got to do the 12-second rule at least, which is before you respond, count to 12, and try to think a little bit about that, because you might say or do things you regret later on.
Yeah, and in many ways, it is the same game that you could play Rebel Without a Cause all the time, and there's bullying, and there's guns, and clicks, and all the other stuff that pretty much the same stuff that they have now. But in this high tech thing, you got the whole world's a video camera now, and perception and everything. And before you can try to solve it, it's probably gotten on the hand even more to try to address it. I mean, you're here. Somebody in Pittsburgh might feel differently. You're dealing with a kind of like a schizophrenic state. You got the middle of the state where you are, and then you got the Pittsburgh and Philadelphia here, and you got the burbs, and you also have some of the farmlands. It's really kind of tough to connect all those dots, isn't it, Senator?
It is, and I can tell you, my district is so diverse. When I was in the State House, I represented Morrisville, Yardley, and Newtown, mm-hmm. which is, fairly small and compact.
Right.
Now my district starts in Tullytown and Falls. It goes all the way up to Haycock and the Rock Hills, just south of Quakertown. So, we have you have farmland down to industrial and commercial and everything in between. And I like it because it's first of all, it's a great district. People are great, and there are a lot of opportunities to help, but the needs are different, and so you have to kind of, it's one of the things you have to kind of navigate and try to work around.
All right, and probably the partnership with the local business, look what Bristol Borough has done in renovating there, mm-hmm. and that's going to add more people that are going to move there. There's more taxpayers there. There's a bigger base. There's more room for mm-hmm. growth, and the partnership between business and education and economic growth, Steve, that could, you have to make a linkage there. Look what's done in Bristol Township, Bristol Borough. Looks it could be a kind of revitalization. That's a nice model, and was also singled out by the governor as well, right? And you.
And Shark Tank.
Yes.
And Shark Tank, that's right.
And Shark Tank, that's right.
And maybe Ty Pennington, too. Who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Now, Bristol is actually a great it's a great success story and a model for other older communities in Bucks County. And the one that I'm thinking of, because it's part of my district and near and dear to me, is Morrisville. I mean, Morrisville is a town that, like Bristol, it's on the river. It has a lot of potential. It's had some challenges over the years. But I think that if we can kind of follow that Bristol model in Morrisville, bring some investment from the state at the same time that we're working aggressively to try to get businesses interested in setting up shop there and helping out the school district, because remember, again, when you stabilize the schools, you stabilize the neighborhoods and the real estate, and that makes the town more attractive as well.
Mm-hmm.
We can do some great things there, too. So I'm actually, it's one of the things I'm very excited about now that I'm in the state Senate and helping Morrisville do that.
Can you also look to the point of building of some schools? I mean, I'm thinking right in the, I mean, not quite in your district, but the new schools there right off Haynes Road and the one off of Mill Creek Parkway. Beautiful looking mm-hmm. buildings after mm-hmm. after outdated buildings. You got asbestos maybe issues, some other kind of safety mm-hmm. issues, antiquated schools. On those two schools, boy, that is a lift. Boy, it's a great place. It's a better place to better atmosphere to learn. I think there's got to be a lot of positive things there, would you say, with those two new schools going up there? Terrific two schools that the elementary in Bristol Township would really enjoy, and the benefits from it. Right?
Yeah, no doubt about it. And yeah. I know there was some controversy when they were approved, but that was absolutely the right thing to do. And I tell you, we have a program at the state level called PlanCon, which is supposed to provide school districts with money to help offset those types of construction projects, whether it's building new or renovating an existing school. And for the last 5 or 6 years, that line item has been zeroed out. Mm. And it's a problem because it means that there's now not as much of an incentive for school districts to do what Bristol did. And I can tell you, again, from personal experience, when I taught at Ben Salem High School, that school was built in the early 70s. And it hadn't been touched in any meaningful way since then. Mm. And it was dark. Most of the classroom, because it was built at the time of the energy crisis, didn't have windows. Mm. And the learning environment was just not as positive as it could have been. They have subsequently renovated that school, and I've been in there, and it's like 1,000 times better than it was before. And it has an impact on the kids and the teachers, too.
Oh, sure. Oh, definitely.
So, you know, we had situations in some of those old schools in Bristol that were replaced where when it rained, you know, water would come through the roof. I mean, there's no place in Pennsylvania where that should be the case. So we have to do a lot better. And the great thing about these projects is not only is it making the schools a better place for kids to learn, but it's also putting people to work in those construction jobs. And
right.
So that helps the economy at the same time.
Right, and you can add another one too. The construction that was done on New Falls Road, where Egan is, and mm-hmm. the tech school, mm-hmm. and they used to have every once in a while have a handful of traffic accidents there and some fatalities. And now they mm-hmm. widen the roads, put some sidewalks in there. It's now a hustling place. The big Wawa is there. But I thought that, geez, that's really going to be a crowd. How are they going to work that out? It's worked out really well.
Yeah,
I mean it's, and there's another kind of a just maybe a little facelift here and there, and you get you know, kind of boost the neighborhood up a little bit. There's just some, and also they're promoting safety. You don't want you know, injuries and people getting hurt at the same time. I mean, that's there's mm-hmm. always these little things that can maybe go unnoticed, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Go ahead, Steve.
So I was just going to say, you know, mm-hmm. We passed Act 89 back in 2013 to fund education programs, you know, and it involved a tax increase. And so, you know, some people were not happy about that. But look at what it's done. Levittown train station has been rebuilt, and it's beautiful compared to what it was before.
Very nice.
Look at Route 13 being repaved and redone. all throughout Bucks County. There are projects. Yardley Train Station was redone. There are roads that have been repaved. You just talked about on New Falls Road by the Tech School in Conwell Egan.
Right.
That work, you know, it's important. You know, after the war, after World War II, there was a lot of construction and a lot of that infrastructure work that was done throughout the country. The baby boom happened. Our population expanded. But I think in the last 30 years or so, we've kind of gotten away from that. And now a lot of our infrastructure, whether it's roads and bridges, whether it's pipes, whatever it might be, is starting to age, and it needs to be replaced. And if we're going to continue to grow as a country and as a state, we have to invest in those things. And so that's, it's important. And then, you know, that Act 89 was a bipartisan bill. Former Governor Corbett, a Republican, proposed that bill. And in the House, at least, roughly equal numbers of us on the Democratic and Republican side voted for it. And I'm proud of that vote because it really has made a difference in our town.
Yeah, you have to be reactive in a positive way. You just can't let things go. Like some of the old schools then get retired and become administration buildings, so they more or less shuffle everything around. But you have to be resourceful and not just say, well, we just got, this is going to cost this. You have to also be resourceful, too, at the same time. It's always easier said than done. We always say that. But some of the things that we just mentioned here doesn't seem like a lot, but it does add up, though, over the long haul, you know?
Yeah, like Steve's making the point, there's such a thing as good spent money versus money thrown away.
Right.
And, you know, in the area, I mean, Newtown Township, we'll talk about a perfect plum. And the borough.
Yeah.
You know, and what goes on there. Mm-hmm. It wasn't 10 years ago you seen every school, elementary through middle school, with trailers. 8, 10, 12 classrooms and trailers.
Yep.
And, you know, the need for a new school was there. Well, and, you know,
when they said
we're going to build a high school, everybody was like up in arms. What do they need another high school for? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, they had to go between classes at Council Rock North, which is now North.
Mm-hmm.
My kids were like 5 foot tall if they were lucky. Mm-hmm. You'd see them like a pimple popping, walking through the kids, through the hallways. And I guess people don't look at this, or, you know, it's the last guy in effect. You know, I'm here now. You know, it's fine. It's a great school system. What do we need to improve it for?
Yeah. But at the same time, people want to move here, so you add another school. That's got to be,
you know,
that's where
the
they want to
go. If taxes go up a few bucks, so be it. Look what private school costs.
Absolutely.
To spend a year at Holy Ghost.
Maybe they could, maybe Steve, you could have the Mike Schiller Complex, if you could get that name for a new school.
Okay.
Well, and,
for a while there, I had the largest house in Newtown.
Wow.
And a friend of mine, another builder, he had said to me, he said, it's only going to last so long.
Yeah.
And, you know, the bottom line, you can only be first for so long. Ask Ricky Bobby.
Right.
There you go. I live right across from our elementary school in Cherry Hill. So we got a lot to talk about with Senator Steve Sanicero coming around.
We're going to go over some issues.
All right. We're going to do it.
Everything you wanted to know about funerals and planning but did not know who to ask. Tune in on Mondays at 9 a.m. to the Galzerano Funeral Home. More than just a funeral home, Louis A. Galzerano III has been serving Bucks County for over 100 years. Family owned and operated by Louis and his wife, Carol. Galzerano Funeral Home serves all faiths and nationalities. A full-service funeral home with a full line of cremation options and a crematory on the premises. Two locations to serve you and your family, one in Bristol and one in Levittown. Call 215-788-2821 or 215-945-8484. Special rates to show our thanks to all servicemen and women as well as the FOP. Galzerano Funeral Home. 215-788-2821 or 215-945-8484.
It's summer of shellfish time at Chickies and Pete's. Your favorite local sports bar and crab house makes magic with shellfish all day, every day throughout the summer. Mouth-watering crab feast with a pound of steaming snow crabs, tasty Dungeness crabs, and three hard shell crabs in our signature blend of seasonings and spices. Try the fresh and light lobster cobb salad, delectable shrimp tacos, or shrimp roll, perfect for summer. Summer is here. That's the summer of shellfish, only at Chickies and Pete's. ChickiesandPete's.com for locations and details.
We're in the arena today. Everything you want to know about funerals, didn't know whom to ask, but we're going to ask some other questions today. There's still a return.
Just for a brief minute, Steve, let's act educated here.
Come on, on my part.
Your assistant, Steve, was nice enough to provide me with a short syllabus of what we should go over today, and we got talking, and you know that golden retriever, which my heart goes out to, is in the background. I love that. Anyway, basically put together a few things that maybe we could touch on, and one of which was basically your background. You already enlightened us as far as your legal background, your teaching background. Where have you hailed from, living wise? You're currently up in Newtown, or?
So, no, we live in Yardley. We've been here for, it'll be 24 years.
Wow.
This October, yeah.
Your office is in Newtown, right?
Correct, yeah. Newtown, we have an office in Newtown and one up in Doylestown, too, because of the size of the district being so big.
Okay.
So I grew up in a town called Verona, which is in New Jersey, up in the northern part of the state. My parents grew up in Newark during the Depression, and after the war, my dad was the first guy in his family to go to college on the GI Bill. He went to St. Peter's over in Jersey City, and ultimately, my parents, like a lot of people back in the 50s, they moved out of the city and went to Verona, which is about 15 miles from Newark, so kind of a suburb, and that's where I grew up.
Okay,
I went to law school in Philly, and that's where I met my wife. So she's from Queens originally. So we wound up in Philadelphia. We loved the Philly area, and then we had friends here in Yardley, and we got to see the town and fell in love with it. And that's how we wound up buying our house ultimately. So
okay,
you know, we've been here ever since. Yep,
we grew up in Sopranos territory.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'll tell you.
Yeah, you're talking to Tony Lip here.
That's right.
Anyway.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you a story. There are a lot of, if you watch that show, there are a lot of areas around Verona up there where they filmed it. In fact, the last scene of the very last episode where you figure Tony's going to get whacked or something bad's going to happen, he was at a an ice cream parlor in Bloomfield, New Jersey, which is a little further to the east, called Halston's. Anyone from that area knew exactly when they saw the place. But when I was practicing law up in Newark, the building in which my office was located was the same. They shot the Sopranos in that area too, and every when they were on site, they would have a little film crews down on the street and you know, these big food trucks and everything. And so you know when they were filming. Yeah.
So. Great show.
Yeah.
Okay. So now you, like I said, you hail from Yardley, and your office is in both Doylestown and Newtown.
Yep.
And you just had a grand opening there. I apologize. I missed it. Joan's mother will never forgive me. But I did vote for you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Well, the opening was nice. It was we actually had a lot of people there, and the air conditioning is not as strong as it should be, so it was kind of warm. I apologize to everybody for that, but it was a nice turnout. And so we have those two offices, and tomorrow we're going to be cutting the ribbon at a satellite office in Tullytown. We're going to be having our satellite office in Borough Hall, right there in Tullytown, on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Yeah,
great.
So,
All right.
And I love Tullytown. It's a great town, great community, and really want to thank the council and Mayor Cuccinelli for welcoming us down there.
Well, that's a That's a good spot. Like I said, it's where it all began, right? Mm-hmm. You can have lunch over at William Penn's house.
There you go.
Fresh made apple cider.
Exactly. Yeah. That's right.
Is there any issues that you would like to go over as far as legislation or local issues?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure. So I'm working on a number of things, one of which is we were talking before about rebuilding roads and bridges. You know, in our area, a lot of those highways and bridges have tolls. And, you know, whether it's the Turnpike or the new Scudder Falls Bridge, which is right here in my district, you know, and that adds up for people who commute every day.
Okay.
And so what I'm proposing is a commuter tax credit where commuters would be able to get a credit for 50% of their
tolls. Nice.
Yeah, up to a total of $500 a year. And I think it would make a difference for a lot of people in our area because the Turnpike tolls keep going up. And, you know, whether you're crossing over, you know, the Burlington-Bristol Bridge or you're going over Route 1 or now the New Cedar Falls Bridge, it can be expensive.
Sure.
So I think that'll help families.
That Turnpike issue, I used to have bonds. I would buy bonds in the Turnpike because it was so profitable and everything was good. I guess, once again, like you said, the maintenance, you know, staffing, and staffing's gone down, actually.
Right.
Because of the Easy Pass.
My son lives in Brooklyn. Right. You go back and forth there and from Goffles, and all of a sudden you get something in the mail. You go, holy Toledo. You got to finance just to pay the tolls. And, you know, it can add up, but you need some kind of reciprocal agreement since you're, you know, people who live here work in Jersey and reverse, that kind of stuff. So, yeah, you have to address it some way or another. It's a kind of like a paperless thing now. It's hard to, you know.
That's a great idea Steve has as far as, you know, reducing. I mean, if you have to go every day up to the airport or the train station in Ewing. You know, 50% off is a nice savings. You know, it's still a tax or still a toll, but at the same time, for being a local commuter, you're being compensated.
Well, does
that exactly? So
does that so up?
That's it. Yep, that's an important one. Another one is has kind of come out of this the opioid crisis, which you know obviously has been devastating to all our communities. I mean, it doesn't matter where you live in Bucks County or anywhere in the country at this point. I think we've all have personal stories about people who have suffered and died as a consequence of that. And it's a complicated issue. There are many pieces of it. Obviously, you know, first and foremost, trying to prevent addiction in the first place. But when people are addicted, trying to do what we can to get them the treatment they need to get into recovery.
We had someone in recovery on the show about a month and a half ago, John Marthers. He's been befriended by Matt Weintraub now. He's become his poster child. And he's actually been on TV being interviewed. But, you know, right to the wall, honest, come right out with it, told us how he, you know, lost two beautiful women, you know, in marriages that he was in, and all due to his addiction and, you know, abuse. And the only person he had to blame was John Marthers. I mean, he was brutally honest. And great show, and he couldn't praise Matt enough for getting him into the veterans program that they have for vets.
Yeah, you also have to work with the medical profession to, you know, hospitals and things like that to make that connection. Steve, you're always trying to make the, it's nice to have the ideas, but how do you make them connect? I mean, you get all the networking to make the machinery run, right? You still, it takes a lot of people to do that. And you have to be able to try to get everything, the machinery lined up. Easier said than done, of course.
Right. No, that's it. And so it's a, you know, one of the issues is making sure that people get the treatment that they need. And unfortunately, there are a lot of outfits out there that are these kind of fly-by-night operations that are not real recovery places. They're not places where people are really getting professional help that'll set them on the right path. They're just out there to make a buck. And, there's a process called patient brokering where they basically these brokers try to get people, they get paid to steer people to these facilities. And, you know, brokers make money, the facilities make money, but at the end of the day, the people with addiction are not getting the treatment and recovery that they need.
Yeah. And that's a true hard fact. Look at that judge they nailed for sending all those kids to a private reform school.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's a little more than going to urgent care and paying a
$50
copay. You know, it's a little bit more,
detailed
than that. And you know, the Narcan is at the one that they, that's the antidote that they work on for that. So it's very difficult. Has their progress been made, Steve? Maybe not enough, but there's been some, right?
I've proposed a bill in the Senate, and my friends in the House, Tina Davis and Perry Warren, have proposed the same bill in the House, and our hope is that it can move in one of the chambers and ultimately become law. But it would outlaw this patient brokering.
Okay.
And that's really important, because if that happens, then a lot of these places that are not really doing what they should be doing will, you know, start to go away, and we can get people in the right recovery and treat them, you know, that much more quickly. It'll save lives. So so we're working toward that, and that's, I think, something that can have, as I said, a big impact.
Mm. Oh, sure. And people, you know, once again, looking at the whole picture, thinking outside the box, it's a bill that's going to save the judicial system, number one. Number two, you know, prosecuting these people. And the other side, the investigative portion of the law enforcement side, district attorney's office and places like that that you and I are paying for, that are wasting their time, not wasting, but, you know, using their time instead of doing other things on these people who are basically making money off of other people's plate.
Yeah, and also fatalities.
It all goes hand in hand.
Yeah.
Well, it does. Yeah, it really does.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, too, before we go to break here, everybody's state senator always has a senior expo. You know, those are...
Yes.
When we cover them and have Lou Powers, and we do live broadcasts, and that's a good way to connect with the community of all things. It could be about opioids. It could be about forms you have to fill out. Maybe it could be anything from Social Security to your health insurance or whatever, answering questions. Those are very helpful, Steve. Do you have a lot of the other reps that are right there with you with the senior expos? What have you found in the years that you've been doing these? What do you look for?
Well, I think you're right. I mean, anytime you do those outreaches to the community, especially to our seniors, there are so many services that are out there for them that we just need to connect them with, because you know, honestly, most of us aren't aware of the help that's there. So we had our first senior expo, as you know, now that I'm a state senator, at Colonial Hall in Levittown, and I want to thank the fire company there for, it's a beautiful facility, for opening that up for us, and it was really successful. And I want to thank all the different organizations, both in the county and privately, that came out. And I think, you know, from talking to the seniors who were there that day, they got a lot of good information from them. So it's really good. And I didn't think, this is our first one since I've been a senator, as I said, I didn't think to invite you guys, but I think that's something we should do. And I know in the past, when I was a state rep, and I used to have the college financial planning seminars at Pensbury High School.
Right.
And I'm going to be doing that again this fall. You guys used to cover that.
We probably will again, too. There's a lot of stuff going on out there, and great information, and that's what you need to have, that connection. And also, I think it helps you do your job, too, a little bit. It gives you that community connection. Sometimes you get lost up in all the other stuff. You'd like to be able to, you know, keep it local and keep informed as well. It's a good tool for you, too.
I think you're forgetting a key ingredient, It's also considered Halloween for seniors.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
They all get a bag, and they fill them up by the end of the day.
They do. It's all good.
That's right. All right. We're talking with Senator Steve Sanicero. Coming right back.
Everything you wanted to know about funerals and planning but did not know who to ask. Tune in on Mondays at 9 a.m. to the Galzerano Funeral Home. More than just a funeral home, Louis A. Galzerano III has been serving Bucks County for over 100 years. Family owned and operated by Louis and his wife, Carol, Galzerano Funeral Home serves all faiths and nationalities. A full-service funeral home with a full line of cremation options and a crematory on the premises. Two locations to serve you and your family, one in Bristol and one in Levittown. Call 215-788-2821 or 215-945-8484. Special rates to show our thanks to all servicemen and women as well as the FOP. Galzerano Funeral Home, 215-788-2821 or 215-945-8484.
As one of the 10 largest employers in the Delaware Valley, SEPTA employs over 9,000 people in every area of public transit. If you're looking for an employer that's diverse, consider a career with SEPTA. There's exceptional growth potential, competitive compensation, and great benefits, including medical, dental, and life insurance, and free SEPTA transportation. SEPTA is currently hiring bus operators and skilled trades, including masons, plumbers, electricians, and more. Visit SEPTA.org/careers to get started.
Everything you want to know about funerals, didn't know whom to ask. Special edition with Mike Schiller.
I got to tell a real quick funny story. I know Steve has a sense of humor.
As soon as you say funny, as soon as you say senator,
you have to be. Yeah. You have to have one. Yeah. But no, we were asked to go to Tina Davis's senior event, and back when she had it at the Bristol Township Seniors Center. But I'm very happy to say she's, you know, gotten her head back, and she's no longer doing it at the hospital. She's bringing it back to the Township Center. But anyway, that was the first one I ever did with her, and it was funny. I had pens, I had rulers, I had books, like, you know, pocket planners and things like that, all with Gals Around a Funeral Home on it. So just as, you know, for some giggles, I put out coupons. Buy one, get one free, veterans 30% off. Well, by the end of the day, I started out with 100 coupons. I had 100 coupons left.
Oh, well.
Not one pen, not one book.
Funny.
Yeah, and, you know, it was a riot.
Now,
listen,
you know what it feels like when you have to sell magazine subscriptions for schools.
Exactly.
Know, and, oh, man, for your class trip.
Or candy bars. $5 candy bars. Yeah. It costs 50 cents. At this point, Steve, is it okay if we open up the lines, if anybody has any questions?
Sure.
Okay. Folks, if you have any questions for our state senator, Steve Sanicero, you'd like to call in, the number is 215-949-3232. It's 215-949-3232. If you're wondering about anything, any bills you read about or that are up in Harrisburg that he would probably be privy to, or if he's not, he could find out and certainly get back to you. So please don't hesitate to call in if you like. And again, you'll get your $25 gift card anywhere you like.
Yep. Steve, do you ever co-mingle there with Brian Fitzpatrick on a federal level, too? I know there was the veterans, there was an issue as well. And did you have any coverage on that? Did you sometimes step out of the box a little bit to maybe on a federal level point or get your input on that with the others, compadres there in the field?
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. We work with Brian's office and with Senator Casey and Senator Toomey's offices as well when it comes to federal issues, but also on local issues. So, for example, Brian and I have been working with Craig Statz, who is a state rep from Upper Bucks, on the issue regarding the quarry in East Rock Hill. That's a quarry that for years was not being used, and now suddenly they're trying to mine it again, and all the residents who live around it are concerned about that, not least because they've discovered asbestos in the rocks.
Oh,
so every time that they you know, they mine it and they hit asbestos, there's a danger that that can get into the air and yeah. people breathe that in. It's really, really dangerous. So Brian and Craig and I have been working to make sure that the State Department of Environmental Protection does its job and requires that this mining company actually, you know, comply with the law. So we've been working pretty closely on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There you go.
How about in the world of casinos and everything else that come to PA and everything else, the casino business as well? How does that figure into raising the revenues and things like that for, you know, right, yeah. right in your home, right, you know, right downtown there, Parks Casino? Mm-hmm. It's booming. That's good. So
No, it is. But it, you know, the thing about it, the whole gambling industry was sold as the fix to all of our budget problems.
Yeah, and, it's only a piece.
You know, it's helped, but yeah. it hasn't been the cure-all. You know, and it's great for the towns that the casinos are located in, or the ones that are right next to those towns, because they get some of that revenue. But the other towns don't. So you know, I don't have any communities in my district that get money from the casinos directly, because right connected to it, right? So, you know, the towns that are right around Bensalem, where Parks is, you know, they get a share of that, but not the towns in the 10th district.
Well, not to promote casinos, because it's another addiction, but
right.
you know, the bottom line, I have to compliment Parks on their recruiting of customers or future addicts. They provided I don't know how many hundreds of meals, and nice meals. I actually had one, so I can tell you. Turkey dinners for Thanksgiving. They went into Bensalem, I believe, Bristol Township, Morrisville, and one other place that I know of that they went in, and all the seniors didn't have a place to go or family was away. They could go in there, have a full Thanksgiving dinner, turkey, cranberry sauce, stuffing, mashed potatoes, the whole nine yards. And they were good. So how they did that or how they pulled that off, I don't know.
All the losing.
Once again, like Steve said earlier in the show, promoting commerce in the area is key, in as much as it wouldn't have been there if the casino wasn't there.
Yeah, and all, that also dovetails into, we've had Paul Benchavengo on for the tourist, and all the businesses that, and you're promoting business and promoting tourism, promoting vacations, and that's, you know, people coming here to spend money in
booming.
Business. Yeah, and that's part of the equation too, Steve. You're also, you had to be a little P.T. Barnum in there to promote just a bit, don't you?
Yeah, no, that's part of that's. I mean, listen, and I think a lot of our local officials do a great job with that. But those of us at the state and the federal level do that too. And that's, you know, we all work together with our businesses to promote our communities. And you talked before about Bristol Borough. I mean, that success story doesn't happen if you don't have you know, the local businesses working with our elected officials and making sure that. You know, they're working together to get the word out, to bring investment in, and then to, as you say, to really sell it. And I think that really creates success.
Right. It has that domino effect, sort of like with Sesame Place. And then all of a sudden you're building restaurants, and then you got hotels.
Right.
And then guess what? You could go downtown.
Have you ever been over that visitor center, Steve?
On Street Road?
Yeah.
Yes.
Our Lady of Fatima right there, and the casinos right there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a topic. You talk about a sore subject. Anywhere my wife and I traveled, and we've been all over the world, she always begged to stop at the information center.
Mm.
And that was not a stop that I wanted to make.
Right.
Till one time when I sold the funeral home in Langhorne, I was done with everything. Real estate I was done with. I was done with the funeral business. I was retired. So we flew into San Francisco, went up into the wine country for a week, driving around. And then we drove down the coast to L.A. And every town, there's an information center, hon. There's an information center. Mm-hmm. Well, finally, I think it was right around Santa Barbara. that I pulled into an information center, and I found out that all the local hotels turn their high-end rooms into the information centers if they're not rented for the night, and they reduce them to $99 a night. Well, ever since then, I've been a believer. So I couldn't wait to go over and see our little center over here, which isn't little anymore, and the staff that they have there.
Yeah.
And the job that they do is just phenomenal. Having him on the show, we got more emails and calls, you know, from people said, what did he say again?
Right.
Where was this? Where was that?
Well, it's
it's a great county with so much to offer,
wineries, the events, the covered bridge tour, everything.
Right. Right, and it's in that that location corridor, New York, Philly. I mean, that brings all the commerce there that you need, and have to be aware of all that kind of stuff there. Micah, as we wrap up, would you want to talk about the state liquor system or anything like that, or the state stores?
Did I patronize this weekend?
Yeah.
No, I don't want to mention that at all. I'm ashamed of that.
They want them stopping going over to Jersey.
Stop going
over to Jersey for all this stuff.
Now, what I want to do is thank, really from the bottom of my heart and the top, Steve, for coming on today. And it is Steve Sanicera from he is the state senator, and soon to be hopefully running for governor, and then on to taking Donald Trump out.
Yeah. Senator Corleone, Governor Corleone.
Exactly. Don't tell my wife any of that.
Come on. No, seriously, more people like yourself, put your pants on one leg at a time. You have golden retrievers that comment when you're on the show. You got to love it.
Make a great movie, Mr. Smith Goes to Croydon, something
there
like that.
There you go.
It'd be great. Yeah.
I used to call.
I can tell you, now he's doing what dogs do best. He's laying on the floor asleep.
There you go.
Wow. I hope that's not our audience doing that either.
My orthopedic surgeon said you need to do what the dog does. A dog will never stand when it can sit, and it'll never sit when it can lay.
You got that right.
Exactly.
All right. Steve, I can't thank you enough.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
I really appreciate the opportunity, and let me know in the future when you're
and if you have any
again,
if you have any promotional material or places you're going or be a part of some kind of seminar, Steve, we could send it over and also be a part of it and promote it as well.
Sounds good. I've worked a lot with Bill Redner over the years. He's a good friend, and
you guys do a great job
with that. So
you bet, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk again real soon. If something happens, we'll. Hopefully get you on as soon as we can and bring the information to the people like we always do.
Sounds good.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Thanks, Steve.
Yep, take care.
You too, buddy. Bye-bye.
All righty. There you go. Senator Sanicera, former teacher, Ben Salem.
Yeah.
Around a little bit, knows the area, knows his stuff.
Good guy.
Yep. You've known him for a while, Mike, haven't you?
Well, I don't know him personally.
Yeah, okay.
No.
You know of him. Yeah.
Well, I live in Buckingham Springs, up in Buckingham.
Ooh, Buckingham Springs.
Yeah, God's waiting room. Anyway.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay. His assistant, Joan, is the daughter of my neighbor.
Oh, okay.
So when he was running, my neighbor beat me with the bush and saying, you have to get out there and beat the bushes also for Joni's boss, Steve.
Okay.
So we did.
All right. Well, everything you want to know about funerals, special edition here, and need to get a hold of you at Gals Around, what do they do?
Please send me postcards, but.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Now, you can call us at 215-945-8484. Or if you want to send an email about today's show, any questions, anything you may have missed, you can reach us at Galzerano Funeral Home. That's GALZERANO. Funeral Home spelled out .com.
All right. And we've got it here at 9 o'clock. Mondays here on WBCB.
And don't ever forget the dyslexic atheist. He hates dogs.
That's right.
I like that.
Dyslexics of the world, untie.
Amen. Thanks, everybody.